many moons ago when I was in luxury watch retail. So it was the day before I was going to Basel and Geneva to do the watch buying. We were the largest advertiser in the Boston Globe at that time. The retailer I worked for at that time spent like $1 million a year in advertising, which was a lot of money. And it still is a lot of money today. You know, we're talking over 20 years ago. We had a store that was bar none. Nobody came close in terms of selection of space, in terms of luxury, in terms of finishing, in terms of, you know, just the way the store was laid out. It was very pioneering and it was very original and very modern, very clean, and just a beautiful, beautiful store. It was 6,000 square feet. It was three floors. We had an elevator. And it was right in the heart of Harvard Square in Cambridge, Massachusetts. I don't know if any of you are film buffs, but if you've ever seen the movie The Town, the opening scene, he gets out of the T station and bang, our store was right there. So we were in the heart of everything. We were in the heart of where the pulse of, you know, Harvard University was and tourists and academics and poets and musicians and actors. I mean, it was this insane foot traffic. And, you know, the Boston Celtics, of course, growing up, that was like, you know, my team. And obviously they have a very celebrated past and they're arguably one of the best teams of all time. And, you know, we were the sponsors of the Celtics, but you know, like, it was very rare that we would actually have any team members come in because they liked doing more private events because they didn't want to be hounded by the public. And if we did something in our store, it was more like we shut the store down because it was just crazy, you know, like they're trying to shop. Tons of people are coming in and asking them questions. So one day, one of the Celtics players, very well-known Celtics player, came in. I'm not going to say who it was, protect the innocent. And, you know, he rolled through. He was alone, which was shocking because most of these basketball players have a crew that they roll with. And it was the day before I was going to Switzerland. So I was kind of like, my head was not, you know, really on selling and retail. It was more getting ready for my trip. But obviously, working in the retail environment, you got to be ready to go at the drop of a hat. So I was, even though I had mentally checked out, selling for me was like on autopilot, something I was sort of born, I think, to do. So I, this particular basketball player came in, very tall. He must be like, I don't know, 6'6", 6'7". And I said to him, I said, I just want to thank you for coming in. I was like, I'm glad you caught me because I'm going to Switzerland tomorrow. And he said, where is that, Latin America? And I looked at him, like I did a double take, like, are you joking? And he was serious. He was dead serious. And in my mind, I was like, they obviously don't pay you for your knowledge on geography. Anyway, he's a multimillionaire and I'm not, so I'll just shut up now. It was pretty cool. Like, you know, I said, what's your dream watch? Like, what would you, you know? And he's like, oh man, I want diamonds all over it, on the strap, on the bezel. So I was like, listen, if you want to build a watch collection, real watch it. Because the whole thing was that I would spend an hour with him and educate him. And it's one thing if you're just coming in to purchase, which he wasn't. He was coming in sort of to get lessons of how to start a watch collection and what to look for and, you know, different brands and what brands to collect and why to collect those brands. And I went through all the brands with him, from Panerai to Longdanzin to IWC to Breguet to Blancpain to all the top-tiered brands that even today are considered mainstream top-tiered brands. And I explained to him, I was like, you wouldn't put diamonds on a Ferrari, would you? You know, and I think that sort of resonated with him. Like, yeah, you wouldn't. Like, you wouldn't do that. And I think that quote got into the Boston Globe at some point. By the end of it, you know, I laid down, like, you know, if you just listen to the podcast I just published, what are five things you should consider when buying a watch or starting a collection? It was kind of, it wasn't as well thought out as it was in the podcast, but it was definitely along those lines that what should you look for? What are the five most important things you should look for? You know, by the end of it, this guy who had no knowledge and just looked at watches as something as jewelry, and you know, obviously not well versed in watches or history or anything like that, because obviously he's a showman and he's in the public eye and he's, you know, there, like the culture at that time especially was diamond encrusted watches for celebrities, even though we never really carried much of that in our stores, and that wasn't really my forte. My forte was on history and collectability, exclusivity, limited production, much like it is now. But, you know, that was 20 years ago we're talking. So that was really like way before watches ever became the mainstay, mainstream thing that we see on Instagram at all these other social media platforms today. And I quizzed him at the end. And I was in shock that he was able to remember all of them. Because usually when you're dealing with celebs or public figures or people who are just in the public eye, they're not really focused on what you're telling them other than what they want to know. How much is this watch? You know, does it come in this metal? Does it come with a bracelet? They're not focused on what you're saying, really, unless they're really interested. I'm not going to say he's like a top five player, but he's, I think, definitely up there. But it was a great experience, and it was fun. It was not, you know, I've dealt with so many different kinds of people in the public eye. I mean, it's a different kind of sports figure, like a sports figure that's more into sort of like popping bottles instead of, you know, like building generational wealth for the, you know, and passing it down. It was more of a rough and ready sort of situation, because I had no idea what his knowledge was or what his understanding was or any of that stuff. I mean, I'd met him before once and he had remembered me, and obviously I knew who he was, but this was a it was a fun experience, and I think the fun in it for me was because it wasn't the customer I'm normally attuned to working with. It was, in a way, it was a challenge because there were certain phrases and things that I said that he had no knowledge of. And, you know, most of these guys who are into watches, they understand what the nomenclature is and what the terminology is. So in that way, I like that challenge. I like being able to, you know, having to raise the bar for myself and get out of my comfort zone and deal with somebody that I've never sort of dealt with. Not really my demographic of people that I mean, certainly afford it. No question about it. There's no, like the brands I was showing in. But I think the challenge lied in, you know, having to educate somebody that's really not about history or, you know, where these things come from or how these things are made and how many are made. But by the end of it, he was really, really listening and really paying attention and was regurgitating what I had told him after quizzing him. So, like, what are the things we look for? And he was like, yeah, we look for exclusivity. We look for this. We look for, you know. And I think that helped him understand watches not just as statements of I've arrived and of wealth, but, you know, more like, why did I choose this watch? You know, I didn't just choose this watch because it looked like a disco ball. I picked this watch because it said something about me and my personality and way dealing with someone high profile and then jetting off to another country, you know, buying the watches that were coming out for the new year and being able to tell that story while I was there. It just, there's something fun, yet something that assisted to my credibility. When I was in luxury retail, it was much more, especially where I was, where we were, you know, a big fish in a small pond, and I was well known in that city in Boston for watches, you know, and we were the only game in town, let's be honest, where I worked. So it was like I had the world at my fingertips. You know, when I decided to go on my own in 2012, like really for real, start my own thing, you know, I can't believe it's been 12 years that I've been on my own. And I mean, I've been on my own longer than that, but like really on my own in terms of having my own luxury watch concierge business. You're not in a public setting. You're not in a store. You're not behind a counter. You're dealing with people privately, or you're dealing with, you know, people's assistants or people's managers or whatever, who are high net worth or who are high profile. So I kind of miss those days from that aspect. But to be honest with you, now being, you know, on the other side of, you know, of 40, closer to 50, I'm glad I had that experience of working in luxury retail, because now I can do what I do so well, privately, with confidence, and more discreetly. And I appreciate what I learned. I appreciate the experiences I've had. I appreciate the people I had the opportunity, like this gentleman that I got to work with, and that totally has shaped my reality and made me a much better professional at what I do. And an experience like this, I had so many like that, but this was unique because it, you know, I was dealing with a top rated NBA player who was kind of the, you know, like what Tom Brady was in a sense to the New England Patriots, this guy was to the Boston Celtics at that time. So, you know, you deal with people from all slices of life. And this was cool. This definitely, you know, helped me. So anyway, just wanted to share that story with you. If you have any questions, you can reach out to me at amitdevehonda@gmail.com or visit my website at www.amitdevehonda.com.